The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Lamid Vav. And we're at the Mishnah, a little bit behind, 8 lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamid Hei Amit Bey. So the first part of today's daf discusses the laws of a Shchiv Mira. Learning Perikei Shneichlin, which is predicated on somebody dying. A Shchiv Mira is somebody lying on his or her deathbed. We're familiar with the rule, divrei shchiv mera kichsuvim v'chemsurim dami. And really, there are two chidushim that lie in that statement. Number one, ordinarily, in order for somebody to effectuate a kinyan, from a chesha mishpat standpoint, you'd have to do a maisa. The one exception is amira l'gvaya, when it comes to hektish, that's kemasir lehedya dami. Harezu oila, it already becomes an oila. But ordinarily, you'd have to do a maisa kinyan, whether it's hagbah, Meshicha, Shtar, Chazaka, Kesef, a person needs to do a physical act in order to effectuate the transfer of Bailus, in order for something to be real from a Chesha Mishpat standpoint. There's one huge exception to the rule, and that is Divrei Shchiv Mera. A dying man, if he instructs certain things, even if he only says it and it was never in writing, Divrei, the words of a Shchiv Mera, is the equivalent of Kichsuv and Chimsur and Dami. So, for example, if a man is lying on his deathbed and he says that after I die, I want Reuven to get $10,000 from my nechassim. The halach is, after he dies, we give the $10,000. As a matter of fact, it could be, it even belongs b'memela to Reuven. Because being that the Shchiv Mera said that that's what he wants should be, it's as if it actually happened. Divrei Shchiv Mera kichsuv v'chemsurim dami. But if you think about it, there's actually another chiddush. And that is, ordinarily, if a person says that I want to be makna something to someone, forget about divrei. He's going to do a real kinyan. I'm going to give him matana. I'm going to sell something. But I don't want the kinyan to be chal while I'm alive. Because while I'm alive, I want it. I want the kinyan to be chal after I die. You can't do that. You can't do a maisa kinyan today where the chalois of the kinyan should take place after you die. Where this comes up prominently is the Masechtas Gittin, where the Gemara talks about in get lacha misa. A man can't give a get to his wife and say, I don't want the get to be chal now, I want it to be chal after I die. To say, I'll give you the get now, but I don't want it to be chal for 30 days, 12 months, that's something you can do. But to say that I want it to be chal la'achar misa, that you can't do. Ain't get la'achar misa, ain't kinyan la'achar misa as well. Every matna shchiv mera is really a kinyan la'achar misa, because the dying man is saying that after I die, I want this to belong to Reuven. Included in the chiddush of Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsuv and Chimsurim Dami is that although if you follow the ordinary guidelines of Hilchas Kinyanim, you would not be able to make such a kinyan when it comes to a Shchiv Mera. Again, the Chachamim made an exception. So, number one, there's a chiddush in Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsuv and Chimsurim Dami that despite the fact that all it is Divrei, all it is Dvarim Ba'alma, which ordinarily are not effective in Chesha Mishpat. When it comes to a Shchiv Mera, there's an exception that even though there was no Maisa done, all it was words. Words can create a kinyan. Chiddush number two, the kinyan Tzchal La'achar Misa, which ordinarily would not be possible because usually a man would have to be alive at the time that this kinyan that he set in motion actually goes into effect. And being that in this case, when the Shchiv Mera gives the matana, he wants that it should be chal la'achar misa, meaning he's dead at the time that the kinyan is going into place. Must be, there's a second chiddush, and that is that you don't have the rule of ein kinyan la'achar misa when it comes to a Shchiv Mera. Why would that be the case? The reason that's the case is because the Chachamim felt that if you're not going to be uber sensitive to a dying man, the emotional distress that he has from the fact that he can't give his nechassim to who he wants to may expedite his demise and may cause him to die. So out of sensitivity to the chayei shah of this Shchiv Mera, the Chachamim made this takana of divrei Shchiv Mera kichsuv v'chimsurim dami. Our Mishnah picks up with a Shchiv Mera who wrote a shtar. He wrote a shtar, a document with Edim and a cipher. He notarized it. He wrote a shtar saying that after he dies, he wants his nechassim to be distributed. However, he suggested in the shtar they'd be distributed. And the question is, could we look at that as divrei shchiv merah or not? On the one hand, you would say maybe this is even better than divrei shchiv merah, because it's not only divrei shchiv merah, it was written in a shtar. So if it was written in a shtar, you don't have to rely on chiddush A, all you need is chiddush B. Certainly, it should go into effect after he dies. But as we're going to see now, it's not pashut at all, because it could be the only time the Chachamim made the takana of divrei shchiv merah is when he actually only said it. It was merely divrei shchiv merah. But once he puts it in writing, maybe there it's different. And the svara would be that if you put it in writing, you're showing that you want it to work in a more ordinary way. Meaning, if you're just instructing, so you clearly want it to work with the concept, the chiddush of divrei shchiv merah kichsuv v'chim surim dami. So over there, you'll have the chiddush that it's going to be chal, even la'achar misa, whereas ordinarily kinyan can't be chal la'achar misa. But once you put it in writing, maybe it'd be viewed a little bit differently. Either way, that's where we pick up. Misha meis, if somebody dies, v'nimtzas taitiki kshura yurechoi, and the chevre kadisha, they're taking this body, they're going to do taira, and they find that he had left over a daitiki. The Gemara is going to say a daitiki is a shtar tzava. It's some sort of will. And in the will, he suggested that after he dies, he wants some nechasim to go there, some nechasim to go there. The halacha is harezu einoi klum. It doesn't work. Meaning, being that he put his instructions in writing, whereas ordinarily the rule would be divrei shchiv merah kichsuv v'chim surim dami, being that it was written, the shtar wasn't handed out to anybody while he was alive, the fact that he wrote it in a shtar is ena klum. Zika bala achar, bein min hayarshin, bein she'ena min hayarshin, dvarav kayamim. There is a way where a shchimra can put something in a shtar and be able to give it over so that it would be considered divrei shchiv merah. That is, if somebody writes something in a shtar, and then he verbally says that what I wrote in the shtar, I want should work. Or even a bigger chiddush. Let's say somebody wrote in a shtar that he's going to give all his possessions to Reuven, and then he verbally said that what I wrote in the shtar that I'm giving to Reuven, I want to transfer over to Shimon. That would work. Because once it's divrei shchiv merah, then you can have all the chiddushim of divrei shchiv merah kichsuv v'chim surim dami. The problem is when there is no divrei shchiv merah. He didn't say anything. All he did was write it. The problem is he never gave it over. It wasn't a real will. It's not something that he gave over. So there the halach is going to be that it's not going to work. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabban, Ezui Daitiki. So the Mishnah refers to this will as a Daitiki. What's the definition of a Daitiki? So the Gemara says, Kol Shekasav Ba Da Tehe Lemekim V'Liyoy. So it's an acronym. It's Da Tehe Lemekim V'Liyoy. He's saying that after he dies, this is what he wants should happen with his money. Ezui Matana. What's a regular shtar matana? Not a matna shchiv merah. Kol shekasav ba meyim lacham misa. Somebody gives somebody a gift, and he writes in the gift that I want the guf of what I'm giving you should be yours now, but the peiros generated from this matana that I'm giving you, that should be lacham misa. So, for example, the way you read the braisa at first glance, what's an example of a shtar matana? So, if somebody's gifting somebody property, land that produces fruit. So if he says that I want the land to be yours today, but the fruit should be yours lacham misa, that's a classic example of shtar matana. So the Gemara is scratching its head there. El me'ayomu lacham misa hu dahave matana me'achshav lehave matana. If I ask you what's a classic example of a shtar matana, you'd say, I don't know, you gave somebody a matana. Why are you coming up with such a convoluted case? This is the classic, prototypical shtar matana. This is the shtar matana of the London. Me'ayomu lacham misa, you have to say berachas ha'torah before you figure out what exactly your gift was, what your Hanukkah present was. But that's not a classic example of a matana. Classic example is where the person says, I'm giving you a matana. I'm Rabbi Hachikama, you're right. We have to edit the brayis a little bit. What's an example of a matnas bari, a gesunte mensch that gives a matana, that would follow similar guidelines of a matnas chimra? Where the kinyan's going to be chal lachamisa, because like we said before, ordinarily a kinyan cannot be chal lachamisa. There was a special privilege that the Chachamim gave the Shchiv Merah, that even though ordinarily a kinyan lachamisa, matna Shchiv Merah could be chal lachamisa. So what if a bari wants to give a matana that it should be chal lachamisa? He can't do it. Says the Braisa, there's actually a way you could do it. Kol shekasav ba mehayoyim ulachamisa. If he writes in the shtar that I want the guf to be chal now, the peiroi should be first be chal lachamisa. So being that the guf he's giving today while he's alive, it doesn't bother me that he's going to get the peiros la'acha misa. As long as the guf is chal today, that's okay. So of course, a classic shtar matana is where he just gives the matana. That's not what the Braisa was discussing. The Braisa was discussing a zehi matnas bari shehi ka matnas shchimra. What's an example of a matnas bari that's like a matnas shchimra? Again, where the matana can be chal la'acha misa, there is a way to give a matana la'acha misa. The way is, if you give the guf, the principle, the karka itself, mehayoy, even though the person giving the gift is holding back the schus achilas peiros as long as he's alive, meaning the peiros are not being handed over today, but once the guf is handed over today, the peiros can be handed over la'acha misa, which by the way, at first glance requires beer, but we'll see, behemshech the daf, a little bit of a havana, why this works. But first, more gemara. Yosef, Rabbi Barafunu, Bach Sajid, Bei Rav. Rabbi Barafunu was once sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yosef, come on, which made Rabbi Yochanan. He said over the following in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shchiv Mara Sha'amar, Kisfu Vitanu Mana Laplaini, Shchiv Mara. That's it. I want you to write a shtar and I want you to give money, X amount of dollars, Laplaini. Umes, and then that person died. So the halacha is ein kaisvim v'noisin. It doesn't work. Meaning, we just said divrei shchiv merah kichsurim chimsurim tami. If there was no divrei shchiv merah, all he did was write it in a shtar, then you don't say kichsurim and chimsurim tami. What if it was both? What if he said kisvu v'tnu, kisvu v'tnu manu l'ploini, and then he died? So Rabbi Yochanan said ein kaisvim v'noisin. Shemel gomer lahaknoisi el b'shtar vein shtar lachamisa. Because being that he suggested kisvu, we're afraid that maybe he wanted a dafka to work with shtar. The shtar doesn't work la'acha misa, just like in get la'acha misa. It's for that reason it's not going to work. Amar Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar heard what Rabbi Yochanan said, and he said, "Izdar ruba." You should be careful to what Rabbi Yochanan, meaning take heed to Rabbi Yochanan's comment, meaning it could be it's true. Rav Shizbi had a different version of how this went down. He had Amar Rabbi Lazar. That Rabbi Lazar was the one that said that Shchiv Merasha Amar Kisvu V'Tnu Manu L'Ploini Umeis Ein Koisvim V'Noisvim V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and it was Rabbi Yochanan that said Izdar Ruba, be careful. Amar Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, what's the Rav Shizbi Mistab? Rav Shizbi's version is the more accurate version, because Amar Bishlam Rabbi Loza, Amar Bishlam Rabbi Loza is the one that said it. It's Rabbi Yochanan Lasudi Aled Rabbi Loza. Then it makes sense. Meaning, if Rabbi Loza was the one that made the comment Shchiv Merasha Amar Kisvu V'Tnu Manu L'Ploini, this chiddush ain't koisvim v'noisnin shemalei gomelak noisei ela b'shtar, it would make sense that he would need the haskama of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Loza's rebbe. So the Talmud made a statement, and he needed the haskama from his rebbe. Eli Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar. If you can tell me, Rabbi Yochanan was the one that said it's Rabbi Loza lasudi aled Rabbi Yochanan. It's derech Rabbi Loza lasudi aled Rabbi Yochanan rebbe. Does it make sense that the rebbe was darshening? He said something, and the Talmud says, listen to what the rebbe said. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't need Rabbi Loza's askama. Rabbi Loza would need Rabbi Yochanan's askama. So, number one, says the Gemara, Nachman by Yitzchak said Rav Shizbi's version of how this played out, although it's the same exact halacha, it's just a question of names, but makes more sense. It makes more sense Rabbi Loza was the one who made the statement, and Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe, was the one said, Izdaruba. Be careful. Oy, Toshma. I'll prove it to you from somewhere else. Rabbi Loza Amra. The Shalach Ravin, Meshwe de Rabbevo. Ravin sent in the name of Rabbevo. Have you heard the Mishinosh, the Shalach Rabbi Loza, the Gala Mishum Rabbin? Shchiv Na Shama Kisav Tumar Lo Ploini Umeis. This exact halacha. Ein Koisvim Venoisin, Shemalai Gomalak Nais El Bashabin, Shtar Lachamiso. Being that the Shchiv Merah wants it written in a Shtar, we're concerned that he's not relying on Divri Shchiv Merah Kichsuvim Chimsurim Dami. He wants it to work with the power of Shtar. Shtar doesn't work once a person's dead. Meaning, your shtar that you wrote only is effective as long as you're alive. But ein shtar la'achar misa. So who said this? Rabbi Lazar said it. So it's mefurish Rabbi Lazar said it. V'Rabbi Yochanan amati bodek. Rabbi Yochanan said, it depends. Do bedikos, do some investigation, do some diligence, and we'll see. Mighty bodek, what diligence are you doing? Meaning, does it work or does it not work? Says the Gemara Kiyos, Rav Dimi Yomar, Daitin Kima Vatelos Daitin. Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael. He had learned by Rabbi Yochanan, as we all know. He came back and he had two things to report from Rabbi Yochanan. Number one, a Daitiki is Mevatel Daitiki. That's not our sugya. For Shchimra writes a Daitiki, he could write another Daitiki to unwind his first Daitiki. Okay. But additionally, he said, this is what we need. Shchimra, Shama Kisim Tunumandu Laplaini, this halacha, a Shchimra that said and wrote. Then he died. Right. We look. If it looks like the reason he wanted the shtar was to make it better, for the mekabel matana kosvin. Then we write v'imlav, and if not, meaning it's not mashma that the reason he wants it in writing is to make it better for the recipient, but the reason he wants it in writing is because he wants it to work with the koyach of shtar and kosvin. Then we don't write it. So this is what Rabbi Yechina meant when he said tibodek, meaning the Shchivmera said, give mono leploini. And divrei Shchivmera kichsuv rechim surim dami. And then he said, kisvu, write it. So why did he say write it? Did he say write it because he doesn't want to rely on divrei Shchivmera? If that's the case, he wants it to work with shtar, in shtar lachamisa, so he just knocked himself out. It doesn't work. That was what Rabbi Lazar had said. But Rabbi Yochanan said, you could do a badika, you can ask him. Maybe the reason that he said write it is not because he wanted it to work with shtar, not with divrei shchivmera. Maybe it was just liyapis koichoi. You give it to him in writing. Anything you have in writing is better for a rainy day than if you just have it verbally. So that it could be, it's not that he didn't want it to work with divrei shchivmera. He only wanted it to work with shtar. Thus, you lose the koyach of divrei shchivmera kichsum chimsurin dami, and it works with ein shtar, and now ein shtar lachamisa. If it was liyapis koyach, it's according to Rabbi Lazar, it was for sure going to be a problem. Rabbi Yochanan said tibodik, which stims, it's consistent with Rav Shizbi's version of the story, that Rabbi Lazar was the one that paskined. Rabbi Lazar was the one that said that shchivmera sh'amar kisvu, vitnu mana leploini, in Kaisim Venaisin, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Izdaruba. Izdaruba's a subtle lashon. He said, be careful, because you're right, that may be the halacha, but at the same time, Laz Dafkit's the halacha. What's really the halacha? Tibati. Meaning, you have to be careful. If you're not going to do a proper due diligence, then you have to listen to what Rabbi Lazar said. You must heed his concern that maybe this Shchivmera wants it to work with Shtar. But at the same time, it's not Muchach that you have an issue. Do your research, look into it, find out if he meant to be miyapa koichoi or not. If he meant to be miyapa koichoi, then in fact it's not going to be an issue. A bari that said the same thing, kisvu, write it, and give it, umes, and then he died, in kisvu v'nois, you don't freak the Gemara, it's mashma, only a bari. So you see clearly, not like Rabbi Lazar, and even not like Rabbi Yochanan, but the Gemara says, umesav lamu v'farakla, b'miyapas koichoi. We're talking about someone who we know for sure said kisvu to be miyapes koichoi, and over there, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the shchivmera would be able to give the gift, because there we do not say that the reason he mentioned shtar was because he wants it to work dafka with the koichoi shtar. He wants a liyapes koichoi. So what's the kash? You have a brisa that says shchivmera she'amar kisvu v'trumano l'ploini koisim v'noisim? Yeah, of course. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it works very nicely. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Tibadik. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. The brisa is talking about a case where it's a sometimes yeah. What's an example of miyapes koichoi? G'damer Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, v'kinyona minei moisev al matnasada. It's written in the shtar. He says that I want this shtar in addition to the matana that I gave, I want it in writing. That's pretty straightforward. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, Dama av kisvu v'chsumu v'havel itmar av Yehuda amash shmul halacha kais v'noisim. What's the halacha? Kais v'noisim v'chein amar rava amar av nachmin halacha kais v'noisim. Says the Gemara, Nachamish ha'kuisiv nechosav levonov. So we're talking about a matna shchivmera, and we saw, right in the beginning of the Gemara, that there's a distinction between a shchivmera and a bari. A shchivmera is able to give a gift where the gift should not go into effect while he's alive. It should only go into effect after he dies. And although ordinarily in kinyan lachamisa, it's the second of the two chidushim of divrei shchivmera, kichsuvim v'chimsurim dami, the halacha is that his gift can go into effect exclusively lachamisa. By the way, I mean, we're going through the sugya as if there's nothing to talk about over here. There's actually a lot of raid. We actually spoke at a lot of raid on the sugya. And Metz Hashem, later this morning, we'll post a raid bite regarding this sugya raid that we spoke at in Masechtas Gittin, Daf Tesvav, at the very end of the first parak in Masechtas Gittin. The crux of it, not to spoil it, but the crux of it is Tosfos Kashan, the end of Perek Masiyah Seisha, that why did the Chachamim have to make a takana of Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsur and Chimsurim Dami? Isn't there a rule of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames? So if Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, then Fashtei Tzachalein Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsur and Chimsurim Dami. Because anything a dying person tells you to do, you're supposed to listen. You're supposed to follow a dying man's instructions. So why do I need this special chiddush of divrei shchiv merakich surim rechim surim dami? L'chura, it should be a sif katan in a broader rule, which is mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh. You know what kasha this is? It's toitzvah's kasha. It's toitzvah's kasha in the end of Perek Metzias, the Ishan, the end of the sixth Perek in the Sechtes Ksubas. And toitzvah brings from Rabbeinu Tam to answer this kasha. You have to say that the idea of mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh has limitations. You don't always say mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh. And being that you don't always say mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh, that's why, in addition to mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh, the chachamim needed divrei shchiv mera kichsurim v'chim surim dam. Again, not to spoil it, but the Nesivos in Teretz Gittin, in Masechta Gittin, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, says even a more posh to Teretz. Says, we're learning the sugi now. We just went through the Gemara. Divrei Shchiv Merah Kesuv Rechim Surim Dami is a chiddush in Hilchos Chayshe Mishpat. It's a chiddush that if the Shchiv Merah put something in motion while he was alive, and it's first going to go into effect after he dies, from a Chayshe Mishpat mechanic, lumdis standpoint, that's okay. Whereas ordinarily in Kinyan Lachamisa, here the king is getting, what does it have to do with mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei amesh is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah upon tefillin, there's a mitzvah to where it sits, mitzvah the rices, the rabbanans, the shmoya divrei chachamim. There's a mitzvah to observe what the amesh said. But does that manipulate? Can that dictate Hilchas Chayshe Mishpat? Why should it? Divrei shchiv merah kichsur rechim surim dami is a chiddush that a Kinyan which really shouldn't be chal will be able to be chal. Divrei shchiv merah kichsur rechim surim dami. Is it the Raisa? Is it the Rabbanan? There may even be a makar from Parshas Vayechi. So that's some of the raid that Amir Tzashem will post in the raid bite. But either, trying to market it, but either way, so we have this idea of divrei shchiv merah kichsur rechim surim dami, that even though in Kinyan lachamis, so over here you have a Kinyan that's going to be chal lachamis, but that's only a shchiv merah. For a bari, there's no question that's not going to work. Stating that we had a braisa. The braisa said, there is a way for a healthy person to give a matana that's going to work similar to the way a matna shchimra works. Meaning it's going to be chal lachamisa. How's that possible? If you give it mehayoyim ulachamisa. So you want to gift a piece of property. The property is leisapeiros. You want to be able to use the property as long as you're alive. But at the same time, after you die, you want it to go over. But you don't want the gift to be chal until after you die. So how do you do it? It's very simple. You give the karka mehayoyim. Today the karka is yours. However, I'm not giving you the peiris. I keep the kinyan peiris. We're going to see on Amud Beis. Machlokes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, kinyan peiris, kinyan agufa, lafki kinyan agufa. It comes up right here. Because the giver is retaining the rights as long as he's alive. So the guf, the kinyan aguf belongs to the person that he gave the gift to. The kinyan peiris, he's retaining for himself. This is going to work. So the Mishnah picks up on that note. If somebody gives all his nechasim to his children, but he doesn't want his children to have it today, he's still alive. He wants him to have it after he dies. How do you do that? In kinyan lachamisa, so if he's a shchiv merah, you can do it, but he wasn't a shchiv merah. So how do you do it? Tzarech sheyichtoy mehayoyim ulachamisa divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Very simple. You just write that nusach, like that brisa that the Gemara brought. 135b. You say, I'm giving you the land now, but I'm retaining the payers after I die. You can keep the payers. Azoyat Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, ain't tzarech. You don't even have to write that. It's self-explanatory. That when a person gives a gift to his son, that's the way it works. The Gemara will explain shit this Rabbi Yehuda. If somebody gives over this gift to his son, meaning the guf is going to the son now, the father's retaining the kinyan peiros, but after the father dies, the son's going to get the kinyan peiros. Today, the father can't sell it because he already wrote it over to the son. The son owns the kinyan aguf. The son can't sell it because the father owns the kinyan peiros. Let's say the father sells it, it's chal, but only until he dies. Once he dies, it goes out of the Rishos of the Lekuchos into the Rishos of the son. Machar Aben, if the son sells it, and Lekech Klum. Actually, almost all. Lekech doesn't get anything. It's just the opposite. Until the father dies. Says the Gemara, V'chikasim mehayom alachamisa mayhavi. Why does this work? Akosim nechasol levanov, tzarech sheyichtoiv mehayom alachamisa. Fake the Gemara, why is this different than the following Mishnah? Which Mishnah? If somebody gives a get to his wife and he says that I want it to be chal today, lachar misa. Now, if somebody gives his wife a get and he says I want it to be chal today, that's an ordinary get. Of course it works. If somebody gives a get to his wife and he says I want it to be chal lachar misa, that's ain't get lachar misa. That's certainly not going to work. What if he uses both lishoinos? Mehayoim lachar misa. So it's a Mishnah. Get, vein a get. Meaning it's a suffix. We're not sure We're not sure lachamiso. What do you do whenever you have a suffer get? The emes, if the man dies with no children, the brother is chaletzes from misi abemes. Why is that? You have to do chalitza because maybe there was no get, so maybe it's a classic yibum. But then again, maybe there was a get, so it's just actually a b'makom mitzvah. So you end up doing chalitza, you don't do yibum. But the kasha is, why did you treat it as a suffik? And over here, me'ayoyim lachamisa, you treat it like a lamdan. You say, the guf is me'ayoyim, the peiris is lachamisa. The gemara is very simple. Hasam over there, me'safkali, t'ma habi, chazar habi. Over there, you really have a suffik. I'm not sure what the guy meant. First he said me'ayoyim, and then he said lachamisa. So what did he mean? Did he mean to retract? He said, me'ayoyim. Nah, I don't mean me'ayoyim. I mean lachamisa. In which case, it's not a good get. You're saying get lachamisa. Or maybe he meant azatnai. Me'ayoyim, but betnai, under the condition that I die. Meaning, when I die, it should be chalam afreya me'ayoyim. Therefore, we don't know how to interpret the pirish amulois of what he said. And therefore, the halacha is chaletzes v'lo misi abems. Aval halacha, but over here, there's an easier way out. You don't have to say that this man was maybe confused, or maybe being chayzer, or maybe making a tanai. It makes sense in a chush and mishpat, in a monetary setting, there's a much easier way to reconcile the apparent contradictory language that this man used. You could say that what he meant to say was gufa kani mehayayim, the gufa I'm giving you today, and peir lachamisa, and the peir is your first kedibichal lachams. So before we go weiter, just to stop for 1 second, and that is, so you have this idea, a man wants to give a gift to his son, or to any pliny, and he wants the gift to be chalach hamisa. A shchivmera, divrei shchivmera, kichsur, lechimsur, nami, it's not a problem. The theme of the daf. But a bari can't do that. Ain't kinyan lach hamisa. Just like ain't get lach hamisa, ain't shtar lach hamisa, ain't kinyan lach hamisa. A guy can't set a kinyan in motion where the kinyan's going to go into effect at a time that he's no longer alive. So how do you do that? If somebody wants to give his son a gift while he's alive, doesn't want to run into tzava, Rabbi Yechinim, and break all these different issues. He wants to keep it simple. He wants to give it as a gift. But at the same time, as long as he's alive, he wants to keep it. So after 120, it's going to be yours, my entire kindlech. But until I die, it's mine. And he wants to do it as a matana. How do you do that? You can't give the gift and say it should be chal after he dies. That's ain't get lachamisa. So the answer is, what you do is mehayoyim ulachamisa. You give the gift today, meaning the kinyan aguf belongs to the children now. The kinyan peiros the father retains, and you write that after you die, the kinyan peiros will go over to the children. The question is, why does that work? How did that help? To the extent that the father retained the kinyan peiros. So when is the kinyan peiros transferring over to the reshus of the children? After he dies, lachamisa. So if ain't kinyan lachamisa for the kinyan aguf, why should you say yesh kinyan lachamisa for the kinyan peiros? So Kivegan Atshuva asks this kasha, and he brings that the Beis Meir said that pshat is that being that the kinyan was already set in motion while the father was alive, the kinyan aguf was already given over, the kinyan peiros was left behind. When the children get the kinyan peiros, all they're doing is being mashlim. They're completing a kinyan that already started. And kinyan lachamisa means you can't initiate the kinyan lachamisa. But once the kinyan was already initiated, mechayim, to complete the kinyan lachamisa, to close the deal lachamisa, that's okay. To start it lachamisa, that would be a problem. So being that the kinyan aguf in this case, me'ayim lachamisa, already went into effect, mechayim, so therefore it's not an issue. Because all you need to do is be mashlam the king. To be mashlam king is not a problem. Rabbi Kivegan says, I don't agree with debate. Beis Meir says, another pshat. But look, Rabbi Kivegan, tshuva, I see it differently. You know how I see it? I think the way it works is as follows. I think me'ayim lachamis is the taich that the father gives everything over to the children. It's his. Kinyan guf, kinyan peiros. However, there's like a caveat where the father tells the sons, I'm giving it to you, but I want you to now give me the schus achilas peiros for the term that I'm still alive. So you want to know who's the real owner of record? The title should be under the name of the children. Side the kinyan aguf, side the kinyan peiros. Everything happened mechayim. Because to the extent that the kinyan peiros wasn't chal mechayim, it can't be chal lachamisa. And I don't care that you're only closing it, you're being mashlim it, you're being gomer, who cares? You can't create kinyan lachamisa. You're not creating kinyan lachamisa. The kinyan is all happening right now. I, the father, eats the peiros as long as he's alive. He was meshayer for himself as chus achilas peiros. And the lumdus is that the child goes back now and gives the father a schus achilas peiros. Either way, there's two ways to look at it. Now, where this comes up a little bit in halacha is on Sunday, we spoke about the shtar chatzi zachar. And the shtar chatzi zachar is the shtar that the Rama already talks about. So this is centuries old, where the Chacham came up with a way for a father to be able to give his daughter a chelik in his Yerusha. Now, Sunday, we spoke a lot about why would the Chachamim do that? It goes against the spirit of Avure Yachsanto. You're not supposed to be Mavir Nachla in Ruch Chachamim Leichemeno. So, Ksubas Min Dichron, Chuvas from the Chassam Soif and the Maram Nitz, we spoke a lot about it. But the bottom line is the way today a man will give his daughter a chelik in the Yerusha can't be Manchalit, because based on Dina Yerusha, she's not entitled to it. And there's no Rabbi Yechon and Breika either. Because although we pass like Rabbi Yechon and Breika, but it's only Ben Ben Abonim, not pass Ben Mokman Ben, even though there was such a man Domer in the Gemara. But we don't pass in that way. So Rabbi Yechon and Breika only works. So you have to gift it to your daughter. So how do you gift it to your daughter? So you do this funky Shtar Chatzi Zohar. Right? How does that work? The father basically obligates himself this huge Shtar Chayv. I'm going to give my daughter a crazy amount of money. The Shtar Chayv is going to be Chal Shah Achas Koyda Misasi. But there's a caveat that says that although the sons are going to Yarshin this Chayv now after the father dies, if they want, they can give her a Chelek that's the equivalent of a Chatzi Zachar, and that they can somehow alleviate their responsibility that they have towards their sister by giving them that. The question is, why do you have to do that? Just keep it simple. Why can't you just give the daughter this is the Eitzah that Chazal gave us. It's a Mishnah. This man in our Mishnah right here, why did he write to his sons that I'm giving you my Nechasim Me'ayoy Melachamisa? He did it because he wanted to gift something to his children. He knew it can't be Chal right away. He wanted to be a Matana. It shouldn't go B'dinei Yerusha. So he said, I'll give it to Me'ayoy Melachamisa. You'll get the payros. How it works, Kivager, the Beis Meir, what's the difference? Lamaisa, from a halachic standpoint, it does work. So why doesn't every man that wants to give his daughter a chelik of the nachla, why doesn't he just give her a gift? I'll ask you a better question. Why don't you just give her a good old-fashioned gift? Why don't you do a matnas chivmera? The reason is very simple. The reason is because each one of these eitzes, although they're simpler, you don't need to write a shtar chatzi zachar, which is convoluted, but they each have pitfalls. Let's say the father wanted to give a regular gift. So the father decided that when I die, I don't want my daughters to lose out on the Yerusha. I want my daughter to get. So I'm going to give her a gift. The problem is if he gives her a regular gift, she's getting it today. He doesn't want to give it to her today. So that's out. That's not what he wants. He wants that when he dies, she should get the gift. Doesn't want to give it to her now. Says, okay, I have an Eitzah. I'll give a matna shchivmera, which could be chal, achamisa. That's all good if he's a shchivmera. What if he's not a shchivmera? What if he's okay, he's well, he's not going to say, you know what, I'll wait till I'm a shchivmera, then I'll do it. No, that's not a very smart, practical thing to do, because when he's a shchivmera, he might not be in a good place. Maybe he'll never be a shchivmera. So you know what, it makes sense. If you want to be responsible, organized, and you want to do it now, then presumably you're not a shchivmera. So you can't rely on not a shchivmera. That's pretty obvious. Me'ayoy melach hamisa, here's the problem. Me'ayoy melach hamisa. You know what the problem is? Say along this. It only works for what you have right now. I can't give as a matana something that I don't have. Because ain't other machna davish lebeloyla. So it's true. If you want to give the nechasim that you have today, a man is 70 years old, he sits down, he decides, he's writing his will. He wants to give his daughter a chelik of his Yerusha. So he wants to give his daughter a chelik of his Yerusha. You have to come up with something. So he says, I'm going to give her my assets or part of them. I'm doing the daf. I know how this works. So there's a way to make it work. This is what I'm going to give her. That's all very good. If this is all he ever has. But what if he lives another 50 years till he's 120 and he acquires another who knows what of wealth and he wants his daughter to yarshin a chelik of that? The mehayoy mulach hamisa that he wrote when he was 70 doesn't help him for that. And the reason it doesn't help him is because ain't other machna dover shalei b'loilam. He didn't own it at that time. So if this guy wants to make sure that his daughter is going to get a full shchatzi zachar, or like a zachar shalem, shalom zachar, right? He's going to get 100% what the boys get. You can't do it 50 years before you die, because you can't put something in motion now for something that you don't have. That's where the Shtar Chatzi Zachar comes in. Because the way the Shtar Chatzi Zachar is written is that the sons, in order for them to alleviate the chayv, the debt that they inherit from their father, they're going to have to give a percentage. That's the point. They're going to have to give a percentage of what it is they yashin. Either way, that's how it works. Rabbi Yossi said that you don't have to. Meaning, if you want your sons to get this, you have to write me'ayoyim u'lachamisa. That's how Rabbi says you don't have to. It's self-explanatory that if somebody gives a gift to his children, he wants his children to get it, but only after he dies, meaning as long as he's alive, he wants to retain it. Thus, you don't have to write Me'ayoyim Ulachamisa. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Baravu Achalas, Rabbi Baravu was sick. Oli Gabi Rav Hunu Rav Nachman. Rav Hunu Rav Nachman went to be Mavaka Chaylo. Omale Rav Hunu Rav Nachman. Rav Hunu told Rav Nachman, Boy Minei Aloch Rav Yosi, In Aloch Rav Yosi. That when you're by Rabbi Baravu, ask him, Rav Hunu tells Rav Nachman, ask Rabbi Baravu whether we paskin like Rav Yosi or not. Omale Yosi told him Rav Nachman, Time is Rav Yosi Leia Nana. I don't know Pshara Rav Yosi. Halochi Boy Minei. Should I ask him what the Aloch is? Doesn't make any sense. Omale Yosi told him, you know what? At Boy Minei I Alochi Lo. You ask him what the Aloch is. The time may, I know I'm in Alochot. You said you don't know the reason. Rav Hunu says, I'll take care of that. I'm going to tell you the reason. Boy, Minei, Rav Nachman asked Rabbi Baravua, is the halacha like Rabbi Yosi or not? Amalei hochi amarav, halacha ki Rabbi Yosi. But the nafku, after they walked out, Amalei, Rav Hunu said, okay, I owe you one. I told you, this, we had a deal. You find out what the halacha is, and I'm going to tell you the reason. So we know the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. So what's the reason? Hainu tamid Rabbi Yosi domar, zmanei shel shtar mechi acholov. Rabbi Yosi says, you know why you don't have to say me'ayom el hachamisa? Because this shtar has a zman. Why does the shtar have a zman? If a man's giving his sons a gift, and he wants the gift to be chal after he dies, does it matter what date the shtar was written on? Who cares? Who cares when the shtar was written? It's of zero relevance. When is the shtar going into effect? After he dies. So who cares when the shtar was written? From the fact that there's a zman in the shtar, zman is a shtar, mechiach olav, that what? That something is being chal today. So Rabbi Yosi says, even if you didn't write in the shtar, mehayoy, it's self-explanatory that it's going down like a mehayoy. Tanya nami hochi Rabbi Yosi yom ene tzarech, mipnei she zmanoy shol shtar mechiachol. Boi menei rov amir Rav Nachman, behakno mahu. This machloikis that we have between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Yosi, whether if somebody wants the matana to be chal mehayoy mulachar miso, or does he have to say Me'ayim Elach Amisa, or is there a svar of Zman Eshel Shtar Mechiyach Olav? Is this only true? Is this Shaila only where the Shtar itself is what's creating the Kenyan? So for example, Nechasim Sheyesh L'Machrayas, such as Karka, Niknes, Bekesev, Shtar V'Chazoko. The Shtar in and of itself is the Kenyan. It's the vehicle that creates the Kenyan. Is it over there where you have the Shiloh? What about a Shtar Raya? What about where the Kenyan was done Al-Yidei Chazaka? It was done Al-Yidei Kesef. The whole purpose of the Shtar is merely to document. It's to prove, to chronicle the fact that there was a Kenyan that took place. What would be the Halach over there? Bakna Ma'u Amalesa. He told him, Bakna Inei Tzarech. When it comes to Akna, everybody would agree that Shtarish Tel Shtar Mechiach Olav, and even Rabbi Yehuda would hold that you don't have to say Me'ayon. Meaning, even though Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, Hakreis and the Chas Laban of Tzarech Shiyichtev Me'ayon Malach Amisa, Rabbi Yehuda only said it where the Shtar itself is creating the Kenyan. But if the Shtar is merely there for a Raya, then you would have Papi Omar, Iko, Aknisa, the Tzarech, Ik Aknisa, the Loi Tzarech. It depends. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't do. How so? Aknai Vikonina Minei. If first you use the word Akne, and then afterwards you wrote the konina minei in the shtar, loy tzarech. Konina minei va'akne tzarech. So it's a little confusing what the difference is. But the poshep shan in the Gemara, Rashbam says, is as follows. That the way these shtaros were written was, whoever wrote the shtar would say, it's really the Edom talking, because the Edom are the ones that are signed on the bottom of the shtar. So the Edom say that we were instructed to oversee this kinyan, and the kinyan actually took place. So akne is the Edom saying that we were told to oversee the Kenyan. Konina is saying that the Kenyan actually happened. And the Gemara holds that once the Shtar says, Akne, the Edom are saying, we were told to see the Kenyan. If they're signing this document, it's self-explanatory. It's understood that the Kenyan took place. So if the Kenyan took place, they don't have to write the Konina Mine. It should be extra. If they only said the Konina Mine, that the Kenyan took place, but they don't say that we were instructed to oversee the Kenyan, then it's chaser. The reason it's chaser is because maybe they were never instructed to do this Kenyan. How do you know the Makna wanted this Kenyan to take place? How do you know the Koina wanted this Kenyan? So even though it says the Konina Mine, maybe it wasn't a valid Kenyan. So if it says Akne, it doesn't have to say Konina. Because if we know the Kenyan was authorized, we assume the Kenyan took place. So if we assume that the Kenyan took place, why does it have to say Konina? That extra language of Konina is to say that the Kenyan is being Chal Mehayoy. Mehayoy Mula Achar Misa. If, however, it said that the Kenyan happened, it's not extra when it says afterwards that the kinyan was authorized, because you still need to know whether the kinyan was authorized. There's nothing extra. There's nothing extra. There's nothing suggesting dafka that the kinyan's chal now, so that unless it says mefurish me'ayom alach hamiso, it's not going to be chal me'ayom alach hamiso. Maskel Rav Chanina Misura. Rav Chanina Misura said, "Whoa, we have the shaila over here. A lamdush shaila. Does it have to say me'ayom alach hamiso? Is it self-explanatory? Me'ayim alach hamiso? It's a machloikis Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Yossi." And the Gemara had a shayla. Was the machloikis Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Yossi only in a shtar kinyan? What about in a shtar raya? And the Gemara said, you know what it depends on? It depends on how the shtar was written. The nuances and the subtleties of the shtar. Because the shtar used to say aknisa, and it used to say fikonina mine. It would say that the kinyan was authorized, and then it would say the kinyan actually happened. And depending on which was written first, that determines. In other words, basically you're telling me that this cipher, this scribe, this stenographer, whoever it is that sits in court and he writes these things, he was such a London that he knew nuances between if akne is written first or konina is written first, or if konina is written first and akne is written first. What was his kasha? He told him, Reb Chanina Misura, we, the London, the Kailo guys, look, don't know this chilek. You're telling me the Balabatim know this? Not possible. Me a komidi danano yadinon, fesafri yadi, and this guy who went to law school, he somehow knows something that all the Rabbanim don't know? It's not possible. The Gemara says, but shalunu lesifri d'abaya, they asked the sefer of Raya, they yadi, and they knew. They were ganz klig, these guys. Ulesafri the Rava, and then they asked the sefer of Rava, the yadi, and they knew too. Rafun de Rav Yeshua said differently. As long as it says the word kinyan in the Shtar, that would be enough. In the shtar raya, that would be enough. So whether it said first akne, then kanina, or first kanina, and then akne, the order doesn't matter. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda said as halacha that you need to say me'ayim alach hamiso when the shtar is creating the kinyan. But if the shtar is a raya ba'alma, the kinyan happened al yidei kesef hachazaka, for example, the shtar is mernished a raya, it's a document that this actually took place, then you don't have to say me'ayim alach hamiso as long as the word kinyan is mentioned. When do you have to say me'ayim alach hamiso for a shtar raya? If you never use the word kinyan, ubeduchren piskomi dahavi ba'anpa, if you just say that this is a zecher, dalin and zayin interchange in Aramaic. So a word that is used with a zayin, right? Dichren, ksubas b'nin dichren. What does dichren mean? Zichren, dalin and zayin. So beduchren, miloshen zecher, the zikaron of what happened is being chronicled in Nishtar, but you never used the word Kenyan. Oh, you didn't use the word Kenyan. That's where there's a shiloh. Amar Rav Kana, Mitul Shvayt, Kamitir Rav Zvidman, Ardova, Amar Lini told him, Atun Hachi Masnisola, you had this exchange the way we just read it. Anan Hachi Masnisola, we came to the same conclusion, albeit we took a slightly different route. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Bakno, Initzarech, when the word Akno is mentioned, you don't have to be an Akne, Vekonina, Vene, Vekonina, Vene, Vekonina. So again, Shtar Raya, you don't have to say me'ayim. In our Mishnah, there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether you have to say me'ayim alach hamiso, whether we say it's manash shlam rechiyachov. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, the machlokes was only by a shtar kinyan. Shtar raya, you don't have to, as long as the word kinyan is mentioned. And it doesn't matter if it says first akne and then konina, or first konina and then akne, you never need it. Beduchrim piskomi, davin ban poplegi. When do you need it if you never use the word kinyan? What did you say? Duchrim piskomi, zichrim dvarim, without using the word or the Shirish Kenyan, that's where you have a machlekes. The Mishnah said, "Akris of Nechasev Nevnoi La'achar Moisitz." Again, we're talking about a man who wants to give his children a gift. He wants the gift to be chal, not now. He wants it to be chal le'achar Misa. There's a way to do it. Give him the guf today. Say that the Peirah should first be chalach. Why does that change? That's the truth from Kivega that we spoke about earlier. But that works. However, says the Gemara, being that right now the son owns the Kenyan aguf and the father owns the Kinyan Peiroi, so nobody has full rights to it. If the father wants to sell it, he's limited. If the son wants to sell it, he's limited. Right, what did the Mishnah say? Mochar ha of Mukhru Nachayamas. He could sell the guth, or he could sell the Peiroi, but the Peiroi are only sold until he dies. Once he dies, it transfers over to the son, because that was the original deal. If the son sells it, the Lekech doesn't have anything, because the son doesn't have the Kinyan Peiroi right now. Once he dies, when the son dies, then it's going to transfer over. Itmar, Mochar, Ben Bechayov. What if the son sold the field that he got from his father, Me'ayim Alach Hamiso, while the father was alive? So again, what's the halacha? Nothing goes into effect until the father dies. As long as the father's alive, the father owns the payers. So he didn't sell anything. When the father dies, then the Lekeach is going to take what it is he bought. What happens if Umesa ben Bechayov, if the son died before the father? So it's a little confusing. A father gave a son Karka, where the Kuf is going to belong to him now, the Peres he's first going to get Lachamisa. It was Me'ayem Lachamisa. That means as long as the father's alive, the father retains the Kinyan Peres. Now the son went and sold it. Being that the father owns the Kinyan Peres, in Lekeach Klum. Because in order for Lekeach to have something, he'd have Schus in the Peres. The son doesn't have schus in the Paris, he couldn't have sold it. He can't sell it, it belongs to the father. Once the father dies, now it automatically goes not to the father's Yarshim, it goes to the Lekeach. But what if the son wasn't alive anymore? If the son wasn't alive anymore by the time the father died? So maybe there it's already going to be different. So Machloki says, Lekeach doesn't get anything. Lekeach is only going to get as long as the son is still alive. Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Lekeach is going to get. Rabbi Yechon, Lekeach, because Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguftami. When the father gave the karka over to his son, Me'ayoyim Ula'acha Misa, the son owned the Kinyan Aguf, the father owned the Kinyan Peres. Kinyan Peres, says Rabbi Yechon, has Kinyan Aguf. So who's the real owner? The father. He's the real owner. If the father is the real owner, when the son sold it, he couldn't sell anything. It says that when the father dies, what the son sold goes into effect. That's pshat, because when the father dies, the son gets the Kinyan Peres. And that's when the Mechir's Chal. But if the son dies before the father, so the son never took title of this karka. What do you mean? He had the Guf Me'ayoyim. It's true he had the Guf Me'ayoyim. But having the guf when someone else has the peiros is worthless. Because Kinyan peiros is Kinyan aguf. The one that has the peiros is the real owner. So being that the one that has the peiros is the real owner, he wasn't alive to ever get the real Kinyan. Therefore, it's nothing. Reish Lakish argues, he holds that even though the son died, it doesn't matter. As soon as the father dies, it automatically goes to Lekeach. Because he holds Kinyan peiros lafki Kinyan aguf. If Kinyan peiros is lafki Kinyan aguf, when the father gave the Kinyan Aguf to the son. Who was the real owner? The son. Because the son had the Kinyan Aguf, the father had the Kinyan Peres. Kinyan Peres is lav Kinyan Aguf. What is Kinyan Aguf? Kinyan Aguf is Kinyan Aguf. So the son is the real owner. The son is the owner. He did have the right to sell it. The son sold it. You're right. As long as the father's alive, the father has rights to the Peres. So there's no way for it to go to the Lekeach. But once the father dies, it goes to the Lekeach. The son in this case died before the father. Who cares? Who cares that the son died first? The son didn't have to be alive to Yarshin from his father, the Kinyan Peres, in order for him to be able to sell it. Rabbi Yochanan holds that, because Rabbi Yochanan holds Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguf. So being that the son never had the Kinyan Peres, he never had the Kinyan Aguf. Either way, says the Gemara, this Shiloh, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, is really Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Straight to Gemara. Why do I need Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to argue here, Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguf? They argue this somewhere else. If somebody sells his field, Peres, Rabbi Yochanan says, maybe Vikair, Reish Lakish, maybe. So somebody only has a Kinyan Peres in a field. Brings Bikurim. Does he read the Parsha Bikurim or not? What's a Tolian? Does he own Karka? Does he not own Karka? So Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah. Reish Lakish says no. Rabbi Yochanan ama maybe v'koyer kasava kinyan peres kinyan aguf tami. Because he holds kinyan peres kinyan aguf. Reish Lakish ama maybe v'inay koyer kinyan peres lafke kinyan aguf tami. So you have a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish where the kinyan peres kinyan aguf in a whole different setting. Here you have it in this convoluted setting. Me'ayoyim lachamisa, the son died, father died, all confusing. Here it's more straightforward. Somebody owns a Kinyan Peres and Karka. You may be Vakaira, you may be Vainik. If you own the Karka, you may be Vakaira. So if Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf, I have to read the Parashat Bikurim. If Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf, I don't have to read the Parashat Bikurim. But the Gemara's catch is, why Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish have to argue the same exact machlokes in two places? Says the Gemara, and we're going to catch up. It's derech. So, I would have thought, even though ordinarily Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf, who has the Kinyan Peres and who has the Kinyan Aguf? The son has the Kinyan Aguf, the father has the Kinyan Peres. Usually, who's the real owner, says Rabbi Yechanan? The father, because Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf. But being that it's a father and a son, I would have thought that the father, when he gave the son the gift, he wanted the son to be the real owner. So even though ordinarily the one that has the Kinyan Peres is the real owner, Kinyan Peres ke Kinyan Aguf, but maybe here he wanted the son to be the real owner, despite the fact that he doesn't have the Kinyan Peres, because it's his son. So he gave him not an ordinary Kinyan Aguf, but a real Kinyan Aguf, a Kinyan Aguf that's ke Kinyan Aguf to me. So that although usually the Baal Kinyan Peres is the real owner, here being that it's a, so it's true, Rabbi Yochanan said, if I buy a field, the Peres of, I maybe the Kirkus Kinyan Peres Kinyan Agov, but I would have thought here Kinyan Peres is not Kinyan Agov. Because maybe the father waived his rights of Kinyan Peres Kinyan Agov Tami. Why would he have done that? Because he's giving it over to his son. Kamash Malon, that's Rabbi Yochanan needed to say, Kinyan Peres Kinyan Agov by Bakurin, and Kinyan Peres Kinyan Agov in our sugi as well. Rish Lakish Amar. Shlokish could also tell you as far. Even the ordinarily king pairs lafking and a guf. So if somebody buys pay rice in a field, buys the guf the pay rice, if you're not maybe the kaira, halcha itzrich. Here I would have thought it's different. Maybe here kinyan pairs is kinyan a guf. What's a classic example of kinyan pairs kinyan a guf? I sell the guf to Reuven, I sell the pay rice to Shani. I sell the pay rice to Shimon. So who's the real owner? Is it Reuven or Shimon? I'm out of the picture. I gave you one thing, I gave you another thing. You have the Kinyan Aguf, you have the Kinyan Peres. Is it you or is it you? But here it's different. Here, I'm only selling the Guf, I'm keeping the Peres. Oh, if you're keeping the Peres, me, I'm better. Meaning, if it's a Shiloh that I sell it to Reuven, sell it to Shimon, it's Rish Lakish says, Kinyan Peres is after Kinyan Aguf, Tommy. The one that gets the Guf is the owner, not the one that gets the Peres. But if I'm keeping the Peres for myself, maybe there it's different. Maybe their Kinyan Peres is going to be Kinyan Aguf. Kamash Malon, we'll pick up on this note in Metz Shem tomorrow. And again, we'll pick up on this raid eventually.